We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Hey, welcome everybody to Redemption Church. There's another reason to be glad you came to church tonight. You don't have to be there to watch the Dallas Cowboys play. Isn't that good? Yes, praise the Lord for that. I don't want to know the score. All right. Welcome everybody, Redemption Church. My name is Chris Fluitt. We're a church here in Plano. Thank you everybody for joining us online. We're so glad to be able to share the Word of God with you today. We are in the good news business. After this kind of week, and it's been tumultuous, we know the stuff that's happened this week. We are in need of good news. Anybody thankful for the good news of Jesus Christ? And here's part of the good news. This is part of the good news. It's what's right with you. And we're going to focus on those, that simple idea of what's right with you instead of what is wrong with you. We're in the second week of our series. Last week, I've got two things to share with you from last week. People who use their strengths every day are 6 times more likely to be engaged in their jobs and 3 times more likely to report having an excellent quality of life. That's science right there. Science says that this is true. Here's what we read in the Bible. Here's what we understand from God's Word. That God uniquely created you to be different and to make a difference. So don't try to be somebody else. Be the different person that He's called you to be. And then don't do what everyone else is doing. Go be different in the world. Go make a difference. If you want to know more about what we preached last week, that's available online. You can go find that. But today we're going to talk about shift from weakness to strength. Somebody say shift.
Yeah.
From weakness to strength. We must know a couple of things. Here's what we must know. We must know our strengths in order to shift to our strengths. So you got to know your strengths. And then we must focus on strengths. So you got to know it, and then you got to put your hands to it. You got to put your calendar to it. Sometimes you have to put your wallet to it. Sometimes you have to focus all that you are on your strength. And when that happens, you start seeing your strength instead of focus on flaws. So what was report card season really recently? Oh, let's look at a report card. We got Timmy's report card. Timmy, I'm really proud of some things on this report card, but there's some things that stand out on this report card for Timmy. Anybody see some things that point out there that you would like to maybe talk to Timmy about? What subject will we encourage Timmy to focus on as we look at his report card? Who says science? Raise your hands if you say science, right? Science is like, whoa, Timmy almost failed. Science. That's a low C. We're just like percentage point. Timmy, it's a good thing your teacher likes you because you might not have made it with a C minus, guy. Whoa, we got to work on this. We must spend a lot more time figuring out the periodic table and learning other things. I'm terrible at science. I couldn't even come up with another thing in science. My gosh. I'm the kid who had a really nice teacher. Her name was Miss Spin, and she helped me get out of chemistry with the 70. There we go. My gosh. Or maybe it's English. Anybody raise your hand, English. Like, oh, he's so close to an A right there. If he would just apply himself a little more, you could be an A student in English. A little more work. Raise that B+ to an A. And here's what we know, that teachers and parents are usually focused on those low grades. Let's say it like this. They're focused on the flaws. And Timmy, because his teacher, his parents are focused on the flaws, Timmy learns to focus on flaws. And he'll spend the rest of his life focusing on the things he doesn't do well. I would like to ask you, what about Timmy's strengths? What is it in us that we were focused on his flaws instead of his strengths? Our education system, for the most part, and our entire world is not focused on increasing strength, but actually mitigating weakness. So let's talk about your report card. What is your report card read like today? How many of you are focused on your weaknesses right now? How many of you wake up in the morning and you feel like you're just not good enough? Can we just like be totally transparent? Raise your hand if you feel that sometimes. Come on. Raise your hands. Look around. Look around. You are not alone. Isn't that good that you're not alone? You're not the only one that wakes up in the morning, looks in the mirror, and like doesn't like what you see, doesn't like what your results are. You're like, I'm just not good enough. If that is you, man, you're in the right place today. We are in the weakness trap where we fix focus. Everything in life is, we got to fix this. We got to fix this. We got to fix this. Let's look at it for a little bit. Our culture is obsessed with fixing what's broken. The self-help industry. Anybody ever buy a self-help book? Anybody? There's some really good books out there. I recommend them, right? $10 billion market in the U.S. alone every year is the self-help industry. Because there's people that want to fix things. And so the first thing that goes is somebody wrote about it. Let's go find it. $10 billion a year in that market of self-help industry. How about advertisements? They bombard us. And what's the message? The message is this. You need to improve. You need to change. And you need to fix yourself. We have makeup for you to cover your blemishes. We have especially late night infomercials, maybe something like this. Wear this automatic ab builder extreme belt and turn your gut into extreme abs explosion. Right? What is that? You sucker, you slobby dad bod guy, you need to get this ab extreme belt. Basically, most of our advertisements go like this. It's like, hey loser, you have this problem, but you know our product will fix it. That is most of advertisements. How about on the job? Let's go to job real quick. Are you focused on strength or weakness? Think of your last staff meeting. Did they just sit around a table and say, hey guys, we're really knocking it out of the park with XYZ? Or did they look at you and say, Dolores, we've got to pick it up. What did they do, right? It is the squeaky wheel that gets the... You know, everybody hear that? You've ever heard that saying before? It's the squeaky wheel that gets the grease. What does that mean? That means the friction is where our attention and resources are most focused. What does that mean? It means that we're fixated on the flaw. What keeps you up at night? What is it? Are you thinking about your strengths? I'm just so excited about how awesome I am in the Lord. Anybody? Or are you worried about a weakness in your life? I bet it's the second one. In the family home, mom and dad, what was your last conversation about? It was probably about a problem. Now here's the deal. Here's the thing for you today. Jesus never told us to obsess over our weaknesses. Not even close. Let me just go there. Now, religion sometimes makes you obsess over your weaknesses. Religion sometimes makes you feel like a no-good loser. Religion, oh my goodness, shows us how falling apart we are sometimes. But Jesus is not that way. He never obsesses over our weaknesses. And we're going to look at that today in Matthew 25. If you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew 25. Go ahead and Google Matthew 25. You can open it up. We're going to read from the NIV, but we're going to read from a parable called the Parable of the Talents. Now, talents is not the gifting that we actually think of. It's not like I've got the talent to tap dance and does the whole tap dance move and I've got the talent to juggle. No, it's actually a Greek word. Everybody said talenton. Talenton is the Greek word for talent, and it's an amount of like silver or gold. It's actually a weight in silver or gold that is worth about 20 years of a day laborer's wage. So there's some context right there. When we read talent, it's not just a little thing. It was 20 years worth of money. It's like winning one of those award shows where they give you $1 million plus, right? That's what we're talking about. So here's how the story goes. A master gives three servants talenton. And in the NIV, it reads this way, bags of money that we get. So let's read Matthew 25 and 15. The master, to one, he gave 5 bags of gold. To another, 2 bags. And to another, 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. He is leaving them with this money. Why? Why would he do this? Here it is. The master wanted them to invest and an increase. In other words, this is a central precept to your Bible, to be fruitful and to multiply. This is always God's plan for us. And so the master in this story that Jesus tells gives them different amounts. How did the master decide who to give what? It's in this verse. Can you see it? How did the master decide who to give what? The answer is each according to his ability. Say that with me. Each according to his ability. The decision was made according to weakness. No. The decision was made according to strength. In fact, nowhere in this verse does the master consider the weakness of one of his servants. Can we get real for a second? Everybody's got a weakness. In fact, if you're strong in one area, it actually usually creates a new area for you to be weak. Life balances out that way. These servants had weakness, but the master, not even for a moment, considered their weaknesses when giving them his treasure. Why? Because he was completely focused on their strengths. So what can we learn from this? Here's some things. The master, and for this, that's God for us. That's Jesus for us. He gave according to the ability of his servants. So what can we learn? The one word is really important. It's the word each. The word each, that means that each one of us has received treasure from God. Each one of us, he has not looked past one of us. Every one of us, he has found a strength in our life, and he has put that strength there in order for us to succeed, in order for us to invest, in order for us to win. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Each one of us. Some of us feel like, sometimes we think, well, you have that skill, and you have that skill, but I'm just little old me. God does not see you like that. Jesus does not see you like that. Each, somebody say each. Each one of you has a gifting. Each one of you has a purpose. Each one of you watching online, God has a plan for you. And I love to tell people that. And I believe it with all my heart. In fact, I believe it so much. I believe that you can do things I'll never be able to do. You can reach people I'll never be able to reach. You'll be able to tell a testimony and a story and a witness of God's power that I've never been able to have. You are that amazing. Each one of you. Every single one of you. And then here's the other thing. God distributes. He distributes what that amount is. And here we have to own this. What? Not everyone receives the same amount. And that is okay. Not everybody has the same talent as somebody else. Nope, not everybody has the same situation as somebody else. And that is okay. Is that okay with you? If you go through life going, well, they have more than me, you will never succeed the way God wants you to succeed. If you just keep comparing yourself, that comparison trap, if you keep falling into that comparison trap and go, well, God gave them more than me in a different situation than me. You've got to get over that or you will not succeed with what you have been given. And then God focuses on your strengths and hires you. to work your strength. God focuses on your strength. I want you to know, heaven sees you a little differently than you think. How many feel like heaven looks at us and goes, oh my gosh, what a disaster, Marshall. What? Get it together, Marshall. Get it together, Chris. Flew it. I thought that way sometimes. I feel so strongly today that that is not true. That heaven looks at us and says, that person may be kind of squirrely and messed up, but that's the person that Jesus died for. And that's the person that Jesus is calling, and that's one to watch. Get your eyes on that one, because there's no telling what can happen in you. God is focused on your strengths, and through your strengths, He hires you to work your strengths. God, His big concern today is that you would get a hold of the thing He has given you and start working it and start using it and start trusting Him enough to go do that thing. And then on the last point here is God invests in your strengths and He expects increase. He invests in every one of these servants' strengths and He expects increase. Can I tell you, God expects big things from you. God expects victories from you. God expects you to do something that others can't do. He expects increase. So the servant that had 5 bags of money, he had the most, right? You know what he does? You can read it on your own time, but here, spoiler alert, he doubles it. If you double it, Matt, Timmy would know this because he got an A+ in math. If you double it, he has 10 talents, 10 bags of money. Remember what the definition of talent was? 20 years of labor. 20 years. 20 times 10 is what? 200 years worth of increase. Woo! Let's hear it for that servant. My goodness. How did they do it? Well, God gave according to their ability. So they used their ability to increase. All right? So then there's a servant with 2 bags of money. And he didn't just bemoan the fact that the master trusted some other guy with 3 more bags than him. No, he also doubled his investment. How did he do it? He used his ability to increase the investment. But, and who knows the story? Well, nod at me if you know the story. You know where this is going? But the servant with 1 bag of money, what did he do? He doubled it. No. He tripled it? What did he do? No, he does the unthinkable. He buries it. He buries the talent bag of money in the ground. Now we fast forward a little bit and the master comes back. It, for us, that's God coming back and giving an account. That's Jesus asking him, hey, what did you do with the money? And I want you to get a load of what God says about this servant. He says in verse 26, you wicked and lazy servant. You wicked. Now think of those, the word wicked, what does that make you think of? Like sinful, right? You did the wrong thing. That's wickedness. Okay? And what's the other word? Lazy. Wicked and lazy. God is not pleased with wickedness and He's not pleased with laziness. In other words, you should have gotten to work. You shouldn't have been lazy. And the fact that you just buried... Now listen, it doesn't say that he buried it and he went out and did drugs. It doesn't say he buried it and he went on a murdering spree. Or fill in the blank whatever sin you can think of. No, it just said he buried it and that was the sin. Do you get that? That was the wickedness. That I gave you this and I called you to do this, but you didn't do this and that was wicked. Sometimes when we repent of our sin, we repent, well, I said this, so God forgive me of that. And I thought this, God forgive me of that. And I did this, God, forgive me of that. But we also have to ask God to forgive us of not the things we did, but the things we have left undone. We have to, God looks at the things left undone as wickedness and as laziness. Now listen, the guy with one bag of money that buried it, can I tell you something? That he had ability. God knew the ability of that servant. How do we know that? Go back to the verse. He gave to each according to their ability. If he had no ability, he wouldn't have given him one bag of gold. But here's the point. The servant had ability, but did not use their ability. Now, I can't tell you what the servant focused on. There's a weird verse about he's arguing with the master about, I know what kind of shrewd, mean guy you are, and so I was scared and I buried it. But can I just tell you something? Obviously, the servant focused on something other than his ability and his calling and the purpose of the master. I would tell you that it's very likely that the servant focused on weakness. And he said, I can't do this. I'm not able to do this. So the best I can do is bury it into the ground. So my question for you is, are you using your ability? Are you burying your strengths? Are you focused on your weakness? Let's talk about a strength shift. God knows your ability better than anyone because he created your ability. We have a scripture that says he created you to do good works, which he prepared in advance for you to do. Before God created you, he created the good work you were meant to do. That's God. He created you and all your abilities. So God knows what you're capable of. Your abilities are your God-given design. Do you know God's your creator? Psalm 139 and 14 says this about him creating us. It says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. You need to get that kind of picture of yourself. That God created you fearfully. What does that mean? That means with great respect, with great awe. It's awesome how he created you. It is no small little thing. It is fearful to even think about. But at the same time, it's also wonderful. It's the things dreams are made of. It's the things that smiles are made of. It's the things that laughter is made of. How he created you. And your works are wonderful. What works? Look in a mirror. Those kind of works are wonderful. And I know them full well. You're wonderfully made. When? When you get stronger, is that when you're wonderfully made? Are you wonderfully made when you finally fix your flaws? Are you wonderfully made when you finally realize how to win friends and influence people? Is that it? When you accomplish some metric of success, is that? No, you are fearfully and wonderfully made right now, already. You don't have to learn one more new thing. You don't have to gain one more new thing. He has created you just like that. Can I tell you, any spirit that tells you you're worthless is not of God. Any spirit that says you need to give up, you can't do it, is not of God. Who could it be? The church lady Skip from the old Saturday Night Live days would tell you it's Satan. It is the devil that would be behind such a thing. It that thing that brings you into depression. That thing that would make you think of suicide and giving up and burying it all in the ground. That is not of God. Because he fearfully and he wonderfully made you right now. It is praise to God when you use your given strengths. He gets the glory. My goodness. Just the verse comes to mind, right? That men would see your good works and they would glorify God. What did they see? They saw your good works, and they went, that is so amazing that it can't just be you. It was God. Redemption Church, can we be a place where we're just doing such good works that people are more impressed with our God than they are of our denominational church structure and our music and all that stuff, that they would glorify God? Oh, that our families would do good works and the people in the neighborhood would go, I want to know about their Jesus. I want to know about Him. It's praise. It is praise to God when you use your God-given strengths. Three things for you. Know your God-given strengths. Two, focus time and energy on your strengths. It takes time to cultivate these things. And three, operating in weakness buries your gift. Just like that one servant who buried the gift, for you to operate in weakness is the same as burying your gift. Let's talk about it. This is real usable. You'll be able to use this immediately. This is not some esoteric, very spiritual out there thing. This is every day. You can use it on Monday. We talked about learned skills last week. You remember that? Now, learned skills are important, but they're not the same as your innate God-given abilities. They're not the same. Be careful not to let your God-given strengths become buried under learned strengths. Learned strengths are cool. Learned strengths will help you on a resume. Learned strengths will get you through a pinch. But they are never to be placed in a higher priority section than your God-given strengths. Learned skills are actually tricky because learned skills are you focusing on weakness. And becoming better incrementally over time. Oh man, I remember sitting at a piano going, I'm going to learn the A scale. Bum, bum, bum. Try it again. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. Bram. Not that one. And it just time and hours and days. And it was good, but that was learned skill. That was learned skill. And how I got better at it is I just went over and over and over and just fought back my weakness a little bit. I focused on my weakness until I could overcome my weakness and become incrementally better. Now listen, there are things in life that you absolutely need to do that with. You need to learn some things in discipline areas. There are some skills you absolutely need to do. Children in my home, learn. Oh, listen. Oh, I feel the Lord. Here it is. Learn to make your bed. My gosh. Learn to make your bed. Learn. Learn. I know that fitted sheet doesn't go over that side, but Hudson, you can do all things through Christ. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Just work on these learned skills. Those learned skills are good, but can I tell you, it's really tricky. Because if there's a thing God has called you to do, if there's a thing, God saw you, and according to your ability, He has empowered you to do this thing. And if you are busy focusing on other things, focus on a strength and just wrestling with the strength, and you miss out on the God-given thing, that's not a win for you. It's not good for you. Your God-given strengths have more potential and fulfillment than your learned skills. Say it one more time. Your God-given strengths have more potential. Who thinks potential sounds good? I'm telling you, one moment of you doing the God thing is better than hours of you doing the learned skill thing. You get that? So that's potential. Like it's powerful. Like heaven takes note when you start using the God-given gifts. Now then, also fulfillment. What does that mean? That means you're going to smile a lot more. That means you're going to be less stressed. That means that the power of God is going to be behind you. And you're going to be like, man, I'm actually enjoying this. Instead of the learned skills that are actually driving you crazy. Think back to the report card. Timmy might learn the skills of science and English and one day achieve an A+. Good job, Timmy. But perhaps, just perhaps, Timmy has more potential and fulfillment in math, where he already exhibits a gifting. Maybe we need to think differently about Timmy. Maybe we need to focus Timmy on the things that God has already put inside of him. And that's where his potential, that's where his greatest fulfillment might come. Do you follow me today? Do you understand this? Focus on what God has placed in you already. Here's some real world examples. Here they go. Anybody ever hear of Steve Jobs? Steve Jobs was not a coding genius. Now, this guy worked in computers, but he was not great at coding. But he had an innate ability to see the big picture and then inspire others. And he'd get out on a stage and he would talk about what other people had coded, what other people had put together. And then he would talk about it and the crowds would roar and the people would line up outside of a store days prior to buy an iPhone. Jobs focused on his strength, and you're probably holding one of his company's devices in your pocket or in your purse or in the tech booth or somewhere. Because Steve Jobs didn't focus on being a coding genius. He focused on his gifts. Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa wasn't a skilled politician, was not a wealthy philanthropist, but she had an innate ability to love and care for others. And she leaned into that strength and she changed countless lives. In India, in Calcutta, she had the hospital for the dying. And all that they did was take in dying people and love them, feed them, and clothe them. And they might only have minutes to live, but those last minutes heard, God loves you. And listen, had she said, I want to solve this homeless problem, I want to solve this sickness problem, I want to solve this poverty problem, I know I'll run to office, I'll run for office, she would have failed. But instead, she just said, I'm going to take this desire and this passion and this calling inside me, this gift of mercy that he has in me, and I'm just going to find the next person that's in need, and I'm going to help them. And you know, while she's trying to do that in small ways, other people said, this is amazing. You need money? Here's money. And now they're actually helping her open up little hospitals all over India. God bless people like that. There's a guy named Nick Vujicic. He was born without limbs. He had no legs. He had no arms. And Nick could have focused on his weakness. He had literal physical limitations. When people meet Nick, the first thing they notice is what he doesn't have. The first thing they notice is what he can't do. But he didn't focus on that. Instead, he discovered his gift for inspiring others, and he became a world-renowned motivational speaker and has led countless people to know Jesus Christ. Way to go, Nick! These world-changing people all had weaknesses that were actually really easy to see. But they didn't focus on the weaknesses. They also had learned skills that could have distracted them from the God purpose in their life. But they didn't seek out those things strongly. Instead, it is their God-given ability that we all recognize and we all see. And there's something in us that goes, wow, I oughta be a little more like that. How do we become like that? Here's how. We need a strength shift. We need to shift from our weakness, and we need to shift from even our learned skills, and we need to shift to what God has fearfully and wonderfully created us to do. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. I want you to keep your attention as they come. Come on, guys. I want to ask you, what are your strengths? What are they? You got to know your strengths in order for you to focus on your strengths. Are you accidentally focusing on your learned strengths and saying, that is my strength? And if you are, you're probably really miserable and you're really tired and you're really burnt out. There is a guy named Don Clifton. He revolutionized the area of focusing on strengths. He's got several books. His latest one is Strength Finders 2.0. And he focuses on 34 themes. I've got 34 themes up on the screen right now. Come straight from Don Clifton's book. Your strength is up there somewhere. It would be very wild if you had a strength that wasn't up there. There is a strength up there, and he's got them in quadrants. Maybe you're a strategic thinker. Wave at me if you're a strategic thinker. Anybody? Yeah. Oh, I thought so. All right, there we go. Oh, what about an influencer? Wave your hand if you're an influencer. Anybody an influencer? All right, love it. How about a relationship builder? Anybody relationship? Do you know that's a strength? Stop for a second. Do you know what a great strength that is? Some are like, oh man, I can't do anything. I can't build a company. I can't do that thing. But I'm good with people. Are you kidding me? That is an amazing strength. Let's hear for relationship builders. My gosh. Or maybe you're good at executing. That doesn't mean killing people. Nathan, that's not what that means. No, that means you get things done. You're an executor. All right. I want to share with you, here are my top five. I've taken Don Clifton's test. My number one is woo. Somebody say woo. Woo. That means winning others over. It's an acronym. That's my number one strength. And I feel like that really nails it for me. In fact, when I took that, it said your number one strength is woo and you should lean into that. And I'm like, that makes a lot of sense. It's really good. It's good. Positivity, my number two. Number three is my ideation. That means I just like to think of ideas. I just like to think of different ways to do things. And then number four is communication. The work? Are we okay? And he's like, nah. Get off the stage. Whoa. And strategic thinking is my number five. I want to tell you that the more I operate here, the more I find I'm happier. The more I operate here, the more fulfilled I am. The more I operate here, actually, the more honor there is to God. It's not like I'm cutting against the grain. It's like I'm going with the flow of how God created me. And that's a really good thing. It honors God when I start doing these things. It doesn't honor God when I say, you know what, I'm going to be really good at, let's see here, what's the intellection. I'm going to be the professor all of a sudden, and I'm going to study for hours and hours so I can impress people with my knowledge. That doesn't impress God at all. He's not happy with that at all, and nor am I. It stresses me out. That's not my field. You get that? I'm much happier when I'm here. I'm much more honoring to God when I'm here. Guess what? I'm actually better when I'm here, and I have less stress when I'm here. Who wants those things in their life? Yeah, I'd like to be happier. I'd like to be more fulfilled. I'd like to honor God. I'd like to be better and have less stress. God wants you to have that. I want you to have that. Listen, we're going to pray in a few moments because God can show you some of those things tonight. Maybe if not tonight, maybe we can just sit down and talk about some of those things. We have Next Steps. Next Steps is a great place for you to figure out what your God giftings are. We've got a great Next Steps coming up next Sunday before church. Sign up for it out front. We want to do these things with you. But I want you to look for one moment at my giftings. Does anybody see a hole in my giftings? I am not a jack of all trades. I don't have it all. I am not all powerful and all strong. Does anybody see a big gaping hole in my giftings? Executing, I can't get anything done. I'm just the worst. I have to-do lists from 1988. They're still outstanding. There's a library book still due. It's terrible. What do I need? I need your strengths. Some of you don't have to go to a class or learn another thing. you're already good at executing. You know what I really need? I need you. I need the strengths of others to really fulfill my calling. You get this? What is it that you're lacking? And then you need to look around. We're going to be talking that in fourth week. That one of our callings in God is not to just recognize our gifting, but to recognize the gifting of others and make the difference in their life and show them, hey, you can do it. One of the most powerful moments in my life, I was at a college and I had a teacher say after a lesson, he called me and he said, hey, can you hang out for a few moments? And this teacher, I remember his name so well. His name is Bill Howard, not a Christian. But he looked me in the eye and he said, I just wanted to take a few moments and tell you this thing that you're doing, you could be great at. It could be the thing that you're known for. And I remember being blown away by that because I'd been in church all my life and nobody had ever said anything close to that to me. Oh, Redemption Church, we've got to recognize our strengths and we've got to see these people walking in that think they can't be used for anything. And we need to walk up to them and have a discernment moment where God shows us the thing that they're called to do. And we say, hey, guess what? I think God could do in you. Let's see that happen. God wants to do that in our life. Lord, are you willing to be a part of that? Do you want to be a part of that? I really need the people around me. I really need your skills. There are people in this church I rely on a lot. A lot. Thank you so much. I have you on speed dial, and thank you for not ignoring my phone calls. I love your strength. I celebrate your strength. Your strengths honor God. Your strengths are a blessing. I need to surround myself with your strength. What if your key tonight is not about fixing what's wrong with you, but embracing and developing what's right with you? In the next few moments, we're going to open this for a time of prayer and worship. And what if for the next few moments, you didn't start your prayer time with, God, I'm such a loser? What if in the next few moments, you didn't start your prayer with, God, I'm so bad at this? But you started your prayer with, God, take this thing that you've given me and help me to know how to better use it. Here's your call to action for tonight. Three of them right here. Number one, stop focusing on flaws. Some of you have flaws that are decades old. Some of you have flaws that are older than your children. And you are too focused on them. You recall them too much. Repent of that tonight. Ask God to forgive you for always thinking about your flaws. Number two, identify one strength you haven't been fully utilizing. Identify that one thing. It's going to make you happier. It's going to make you less stressed. It's going to give glory to God. It's going to make you more fulfilled. It's going to make you better. Find that one thing and use that strength each day this week. And reflect on how it made you feel. Think about that. And if you start feeling good about that, you just found your secret weapon. If you felt good about that, the devil is really afraid. He is afraid of people that are walking in strength. He's afraid of people that take off the shame and they start walking in the calling of God. Number three, here's the last one. Right now in this moment, I want you to seek the Creator. That might mean that you worship songs. Sing these worship songs with him. It might mean that you come and you kneel down and you start to pray. It might mean you come to the front and you say, hey, I would like someone to pray with me. But you are going to seek the Creator. God, you're the one who designed me. You uniquely created me different and to make a difference. So God, right now I'm seeking you. Come show me. Come reveal it to me. This altar is open right now. Who wants to come seek the Creator? Who wants to come be active in their faith? Can we stand all over this place? I'm going to pray for everybody watching and listening online as they start this song. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for everybody watching, listening online. Friend, God has fearfully and wonderfully created you. He has given to each according to their abilities, and He knows your abilities. He gave you those abilities. He wants to work in your life. Friend, reach out to Him. Reach out, seek the Creator right now. Ask the Creator to use you. Repent of your flaws. Come on, do it in Jesus' name. God, touch my friend, God. Lord, touch my friend online, God. Reach their life, God. Lord, give them victory over their doubt. Give them victory over their weaknesses. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Come on, let's reach out to God. Let's talk to God in this place in Jesus' name.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemptionplano.com. We want to hear more from you. So be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or even our anonymous text line at 469-651-1178. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.